Good morning. That is such a weird story in so many ways. I mean, those poor pigs. I guess they are what we would call today collateral damage. And there's a lot of collateral damage in human life, not just in wars, but in our daily neighborhoods and in our cities and in our own lives. There's always people who just happen to be the wrong place at the wrong time and become victims of evil and of conflict. And so I love these words by William Stringfellow that I printed also in today's bulletin. William Stringfellow was a lawyer, a New York lawyer back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. But he is not remembered for his work as a lawyer. He is remembered primarily for the many books that he wrote about the Christian faith. He was a very committed Episcopalian, but a very radical and a very challenging Episcopalian who really went to the depths of what Jesus really was about and what Jesus taught. And he wrote some extraordinary books. I think by now I have bought all of his books. They have all been reprinted by one very enterprising publisher in Oregon. So in one of his books, he writes this beautiful statement that I quoted in today's bulletin. In the face of death, live humanly. In the middle of chaos, celebrate the word. Amidst Babel, speak the truth. That's really what today's gospel is all about. And just like I wrote in the bulletin today, I see this statement of Stringfellow, and I say, wow. In one sentence really summarizes what this gospel reading is all about. I love that word, humanly. I don't know if anybody else had invented that word or whether it was his own invention. Not humanely, without the E there, just humanly. To live as a human being. And that's the challenge that the man with the legion of demons, that was the challenge for him in the face of that living death that he lived among the tombs. What a perfect symbol for a living death that was his sentence in this life, to be living among the tombs. In that face of that living death, Jesus released that man in order to live humanly, to live as a human again. The legion of demons have created chaos inside his mind, inside his being. Can you imagine? Of course you can't imagine, and I can't imagine. It's hard enough to imagine being possessed by one demon, never mind hundreds or thousands, a legion. The Roman legion was 5,000 men. He calls himself legion. You can imagine how much was in this man and how much chaos existed inside this man. So just like Stringfellow said, in the middle of chaos, celebrate the word. Indeed, it was the word. Jesus, the incarnate word. John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, or Logos, the Word of God, the Word that God spoke from the beginning to create everything out of chaos. That Word that has always existed from all eternity with God became incarnate. That's what John's Gospel tells us. One of the most extraordinary statements in the entire history of humanity. In the face of the chaos that the legion had created in his soul, the Word, Jesus, the incarnate Word, brought release and peace. And in the face of the babble that surrounded this man, not just the babble inside his brain, inside his being, but the babble of the people around him, the babble of unbelief and rejection, the people who kept him bound in chains and forced him to leave, the babble that surrounded this man, not just was that was in him, in the face of that babble, he was empowered by Jesus to speak the truth. And he was even commanded by Jesus to go and tell his fellow countrymen what Jesus had done for him. I have often, you have heard me say many times, this is one of my strongest convictions, that the miracles of Jesus are parables in action. Every miracle that Jesus performed was a parable. Not in words, not in stories, but in action. And that again is true, very true, of today's miracle story, as I have described in a few minutes using Stringfellow's words. But today, I think we go even another step beyond the idea of the miracle being a parable. Today, I want to say that every one of us, every single one of us, is a parable. Every single one of us is a parable of the gospel, the dynamics of the gospel, what the gospel does to a human being, just like we see it in the miracle story where the man goes from bondage, from chaos, from possession, to freedom, to the ability to speak, to see the truth, to be healed by the Word, the incarnate Word, and him becoming then a messenger of that Word. That's the gospel in miniature. We see that in the miracle story, but every one of us is a parable. Every one of us is a parable of the Word, a parable of what Jesus brought into the world. Think about it. We are all captive to something at one point or another in our lives. We are captive to fears, anxieties. We are captive to materialism. We are captive to various temptations or even addictions that enter our lives at various points. We are all captive to something, to someone, at one point or another. And when we are captive to anything or anybody, we become parables. We become parables of the fall, parables of that dynamic where humanity lives far from God or is estranged from God. And then when we rise above our thoughts, above our fears, above our anxieties, above our possessions, our captivity, our bonds, the things that bring us down, when we rise above them, we become parables of liberation. The liberation that Jesus brought, the liberation that Jesus granted to this man in today's gospel story. That's what Jesus brings today in this miracle story, the power of liberation to the man whose name was Legion, and also to every one of us who hear the gospel story here in the liturgy. We are all captive to something at one point or another in our lives, hopefully not to demons, but certainly by the anxieties and concerns of life and the various, the captivity to the values imposed on us by today's mass society. And yes, even though we are not possessed by demons, there is always evil waiting at the door, lurking at the door, waiting to ensnare us. And we need protection from that evil. I never really realized this very much, because me being a modern, postmodern, you know, scientific guy, you know, I mean, I love science. I don't mean easily fall for superstitions. I tend to downgrade, you know, things like demons and Satan and stuff like that. It's just not my daily concern. I don't think about these things. I really have trouble believing in the existence of Satan. But evil does exist. And it's always waiting to ensnare any one of us. And the Lord's Prayer concludes with precisely that expression. Deliver us from evil. But the Greek poneros, to poneru, see, when it's in the genitive, to poneru, it could be a neuter from evil, or it could be a masculine noun, the evil one. And there are translations of the Lord's Prayer that don't say deliver us from evil, but deliver us from the evil one. Both translations are 100% accurate. Take your choice. Deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. They're both completely correct, at least according to the grammar of the ancient Greek language. But here's something even more important about the Lord's Prayer. It's a liturgy in miniature. Think about the liturgy. We start with blessed is the kingdom of the Father and the Son. Then through a series of prayers and readings, we proceed to sanctify God's name. We sing Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal. We listen to His word so that we understand His will and the message of the gospel. We ask for forgiveness. And then we receive the bread of life in the communion. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. Our Father who art in heaven, God is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We say God's name is holy. God is holy. We hallow God's name. Thy kingdom come. That's how the liturgy begins. We want His kingdom. We know God is in heaven. How about His kingdom here on earth? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven, no question about that. But is it done here on earth? Is it done here on earth, or do we choose to prefer legion instead of God's presence in our lives? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the heart and soul of the liturgy. We receive the bread, our daily nourishment, or our weekly nourishment for most of us. We ask for forgiveness how many times in the liturgy? You know, strictly speaking, if we were a maximal Orthodox Christian community, if we really lived the Orthodox faith to the maximum, not to the minimum, which tends to be the tendency in the Orthodox Church these days, if we live the Orthodox faith to the maximum, before coming to communion, We ask for God's forgiveness, and we also go to every person that we have hurt or who has hurt us, and we ask for forgiveness from that person, and we forgive that person. That's actually the Orthodox tradition, not practice, unfortunately, in most of us and in most churches. Because unfortunately, we have turned communion into just a private act. Here am I. Don't bother me. I'm focused on receiving the body and blood of Christ. Yeah, but that body and blood of Christ was shed for forgiveness. And we receive that forgiveness from God. But do we forgive? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or again, to use a different translation of Philetus, for as we forgive those who are indebted to us, who have a debt to us. Somebody, you feel somebody owes you, forgive that person before you come to communion. And that's part of the liberation, you see. When you forgive or when you receive forgiveness, that's the most beautiful expression of freedom, of deliverance, liberation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer is a miniature, a liturgy in miniature. And the liturgy itself is a sacrament of God's presence and His will being done here on earth and the experience of Christ's liberation. And when I say about liturgy, I don't mean listening just to a sermon, but I'm talking about the totality, the wholeness of the liturgy. And yeah, it's repetitious week after week. What do you want? Variety? The gospel is one. Okay? There are churches that pack them in every Sunday, thousands and thousands of people, because they do something different every Sunday. They sing different stuff. They have different orchestras on stage. They have nice videos for people to watch every week. But you know, you get tired of that after a while. And those thousands move on to another church and are replaced by another group of thousands. Well, we're not quite as ambitious in our liturgy. Because our liturgy is a sacrament. It's not a show. It's not an entertainment. It's a sacrament. Just like every single one of us is a sacrament, a parable of God's word. This miracle story is a sacrament, is a liturgy of God's presence. It all fits together. And the gospel today calls every one of us to live fully, passionately, humanly, as Stringfellow put it. And then deliverance and joy and peace replace the legion of fears and anxieties in our lives, and we become parables of the word.